We're doing the book of Malachi. We had learned last week about the responsibilities of the Kohen, the responsibilities of the Torah teacher, that he's supposed to be like an angel, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakotu. And then Hashem turned to the people and said, Va'atem sartem min haderech hichshaltem rabim b'Torah, but you, the Kohanim, you haven't done what you're supposed to do. You've caused others to stumble. Shichatem brit alevi amar Hashem Tzvakot. You destroyed the covenant that I made with the tribe of Levi. You destroyed my covenant with the Kohanim. Megam ani natat etchem nivzim ushvalim lechol am. So Hashem says, so in accord with your behavior, I also made you the downtrodden part of the nation. People look down at you. Kefi asher inichem shomirim et derachayim nosim panim b'Torah. Because you aren't maintaining the Torah. On the contrary, you're practicing sycophancy, you're playing favorites, you're being unfaithful to my Torah, you're cheating, you're siding with the wealthy, and so people look down at you.
What's sycophancy?
That's when you...
What's in Hebrew?
It's like flattery, chanifa in Hebrew. And he returns to rebuke them. And he says, we had seen last week how he rebukes them for being unfaithful to their wives. He rebukes them for leaving the daughters of Israel, for going after foreign women. Why is it that people have been unfaithful to their fellow men? Bagedah Yehuda v'Tovan estav Yisrael v'Yerushalayim ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ahev uval bat ken mechar. It is considered that Judea has been treacherous. How are they traitors? In that they went and married women from other nations. They left the women of Israel without husbands. And they went and they defiled their own holiness. And the Pasuk continues in Pasuk Yud Bet. Yachret Adonai la'ish asher ya'asen ha'er ve'onem me'aholei Yaakov. Hashem says, he who does this, he who goes and marries a woman from the other nations, so Hashem will cut off of him er ve'onem, be it someone who is aroused, meaning someone who, the literal understanding is someone who's awake, a continuation, a child, the one. So one could be understood as someone who can give response, meaning someone who has a pulse. The deeper understanding is it's talking about a grandson. He won't see a future from this marriage. He won't see a child. He won't see a grandchild. Me'ole Yaakov, from the houses, from the tents of Yaakov. And we have a tradition that... the word air has another interpretation, that the word air also means to be sharp, that he won't have a sharp descendant, his children will not be among the sharp ones. Yachret Hashem la'isha shayasena, Hashem will cut off from a person who does this air, a sharp descendant, his descendants will all be dolts, ve'one, nor will he have a descendant who is among the wise men that have answers, but rather he'll always be on the questioning side and not on the giving answer side. Yachret Hashem la'isha shayasena er ve'one me'ole Yaakov. And this verse, to a large degree, is the source for the prohibition of marrying out of the faith. So marrying out of the faith, well, that's in the Torah. That's biblical. But what happens with a one-night stand? What happens with a short affair? Where does it prohibit that? So the Talmud says that this verse is the verse that prohibits that. So you'll all ask me, how could you have a prohibition from prophets and the end of prophets? The prophets in the beginning of the Second Temple, so the Talmud tells us certain things they had on tradition, and when the prophets came along, they gave it a verse to base the tradition. But really, that they had this tradition going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that if a person has a one-time affair with a non-Jewish woman, so then the Torah says, we have a tradition, Halacha Moshe Misinai, Kana'in Pogain Bo, the zealots can kill him as he's doing it, just like Pinchas did with Cosby and Zimri in the Torah. But then the Gemara questions, the Gemara in Sanhedrin questions Well, what punishment is he going to get if he doesn't get caught in the act? If he doesn't get killed? And then the Talmud says this verse reveals to us what punishment he will get. The Talmud brings an interesting story. One Amora asked another one, and he couldn't remember. And then that night he had a dream, and they showed him this pasuk in the dream, and then he got up and said, that's a tradition I have. That this is the punishment for someone who has even a one-time affair with a non-Jewish woman. What the pasuk says, that Hashem will cut off his future. He won't have a future among the sages, he won't have a future amongst those that are awake, so to speak, those that are sharp. Umagish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot, nor will he have a future, if he's a Kohen, with children who will be fit to offer offerings before Hashem. And this is a very powerful punishment, because we always believe that the next generation has a chance. We're told that Haman's descendants were great sages. Sancheriv's descendants were great sages. And here Hashem says, I'll make sure that the great sages come from someone else. This was a big issue in the beginning of the Second Temple. People had intermarried rampantly throughout Israel. And this was an issue that Ezra contended with. It says that when Ezra convened his court, he sent out his policemen and he said, you guys have to show up and you guys have to start building Jewish homes or else. So the Talmud says, what does or else mean? So he said, he writes over there, what does or else mean? Or else means I'm going to beat you up, I'm going to take your homes, I'm going to tear out your hair, literally. Ezra reinforced Judaism. One of the main issues he was dealing with, one of the major issues he was dealing with, was this. So here we have his contemporary, the prophet Malachi, which we discussed already, a machlokas among our sages, who exactly was Malachi, but assuming he's a standalone prophet, he's prophesizing to the people, and he's saying, this is the punishment that's to come to anyone who does. Anyone who does live with a non-Jewish woman. Yeah?
How does this correlate, I think it was a couple of parshas ago, where if a Jewish slave, the owner can make him or have him have relations with a non-Jewish.
Only if he's married, already married.
So both of you are right. And the point that you're raising, how could it be that a Jewish slave can be given to a non-Jewish servant? So that needs to be defined a little bit better. When a non-Jewish person becomes a servant in a Jewish home, so then they're given 1 year's time to decide whether they want to convert or not. And if they decide that they want to convert, then they can remain. And if they don't, then we sell them onward. They can't remain in the Jew's home. They have a year to decide. So firstly, they undergo a form of conversion. It's conversion for the sake of being a servant. It's not conversion to be a full-fledged ger, but it's not like marrying completely out of Judaism. So that's point number one. Point number two is that the Avnei Miluim raises the issue you just said, and the Avnei Miluim says that from here we see a very interesting thing. When a person purchases a Jewish servant, so then he is not only purchasing the monetary rights to his time, he is also taking a certain ownership in his religion. That's what Avnei Miluim says. He terms it Kinyan Isurim. He purchases a certain element of what's prohibited to this person, because before, in spite of everything we just said, right? So she's undergone a conversion. There's still a prohibition to living with her. Comes the Torah and says, yes, but a Jewish servant may. So the Avnei Miluim says, you see, that the purchase of a Jewish servant is not only monetary. There's an aspect where it also the owner also takes ownership of certain elements of the prohibitions of the Torah on the servant. Meaning that the owner can tell him, I want you with her tonight. Even though for anyone else it would be prohibited. Even after her gear, even after her... Oh, so I don't know of another example.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything against the right of from biblical, from the Torah, that the owner can say, okay, I now own this part, I need you to do something for me on Shabbos.
I don't know, no, that not. The man yanoch shorcho v'chamarecha v'yinefesh v'nam schova. Yeah.
Thank you.
Pasuk Yud Gimel. וזאת שנית תעשו. Aside from the first disgrace that you did, that you disgraced the altar, as you said, the altar was just a filthy thing. So that's why Hashem says, I'm not interested in your sacrifices. Secondly, the second thing you've done in disgracing the altar is, Kasot dim'ah et mizbach Adonai b'chi va'anaka. You have covered the altar with tears, and those tears come mibechi va'anaka. Bechi is from weeping, and there are two types of tears. There's tears that come from happiness. A person can tear from laughing. A person can tear from joy. And these tears are from weeping, and the weeping is the weeping of the wives of Israel who have been so disgraced as their husbands go off with foreign women. So that's what the Navi turns to the people and says, you want Hashem to accept your sacrifices. How is He going to accept your sacrifices when you're offering them on an altar that's covered with tears, the tears of these women who have been scorned, these women who have whose husbands have been unfaithful? Me'ein od pinot el hamincha velakachat ratzon mi'etchem. And so God says, I can't see anything good about you. I see no reason to accept your sacrifices if this is what you've done to your wives. V'amarteim alma. And if you'll ask me, God, what are you so upset about? Al ki Adonai he'id beinecha uvein eshet ne'urecha. God says, I'll answer you. God says, I am the witness between you and your love of youth. Is there a term for that in Hebrew? In English? In Hebrew, it's called Eshet Neurecha, the woman that a person was so excited about when he was young.
The love of your youth.
The love of your youth, okay. And Asher ata bagad taba, that you were a traitor to her. Vehi chavertecha ve'eshet beritecha. But she was your wife. She maintained her pact with you. She's been faithful to you, but you haven't been faithful to her. And so this pasuk shows us a tremendous lesson that Hashem says, I can't look at your sacrifices when you've been unfaithful to your wife. I was talking to a businessman, and it was interesting. Every politician that came up in conversation, his gauge of the politician was if he cheated with his wife. The second he cheated with his wife, this businessman said he can't trust a word that politician says. Anyone who can break that pact, you can't trust anything they say. And it was an eye-opener to me, because we live in a day where most politicians cheat on their wives. It's a rarity that they don't. Some get reported and some don't get reported, but that was his view. That was his take on things. And here we see that Hashem says, once a person has broken that pact, Hashem says, how could I look at any sacrifice? You scorn my altar. For that, God doesn't say, I'm not willing to take you back. For that, God says, I'm upset. I'm not interested in your sacrifices. But then God says, but what's worse is the tears of the wives that that know that their husbands haven't been faithful. And that, Hashem says, how could I accept sacrifices from that? And here Chazal tell us a lot of insights about marriage from this pasuk, about how the pact really affects the husband and the wife, about the fact that a woman that one marries in one's youth has a different weight than a woman that one marries when one is older, that the excitement and the connection that one can have when he's a youngster is just different than the connection he'll have when he's older. And it's interesting to see how the pasuk describes a wife. What does the pasuk call her? She is your friend. She is your partner. Those are the terms of the pasuk. When people wonder, how does Judaism view marriage? I was on a bus yesterday, and it shocked me. I saw an Arab on a donkey and his wife walking. And she's walking, he's sitting there comfortably on the donkey, he's riding, and she's walking. So if you'd ask me what our view is supposed to be, what does the Navi tell us? She's your friend. She is the partner in your pact. Velo echad asam ushar ruach lo uma echad mevakesh zera Elohim. This pasuk has multiple interpretations. The literal meaning of the words is, and not one has done. Ush'aruach lo, and the remnants of spirit are to him. Uma echad mevakesh zera Elokim. So what does this one ask for the seed of God? What's the pasuk saying? So one understanding is, Rashi says, didn't I originally make you one couple? Wasn't I telling you something when I created one Adam and one Eve, and I was showing you how I wanted you to build your lives? Adam could have had 15 wives, but I didn't do that. Velo echad asa, didn't I make only one couple? Usharuach lo, and God says, I have plenty of souls. And all those souls emanated from one couple. Uma echad mevakesh zera Elokim. Why is it that one of the two is looking for claims against the other one? What are you looking to shame her for? You're looking for claims against your wife, who is also zera Elokim. She is the seed of God. So that's one understanding here. That Hashem says, look at how I formed the world. I purposely began with one couple to teach you how I want you to lead your lives. And why is it that a person is looking for claims against his wife? Don't you realize she too is the seed of God? That's Rashi's interpretation. Rashi then quotes a midrash that all the men who were married to non-Jewish women came to the Navi Malachi and said, what do you want from us? Abraham also married a non-Jewish woman. Abraham married Hagar. So we took a second wife. What's wrong? And the Navi answers them, Ush'aruach lo. He wasn't thinking what you're thinking. It's not that he was looking at her looks, but he had a different thing in mind. So they said, Uma ha'echad mevakesh zera Elokim. So Uma ha'echad mevakesh, they asked him, what was he interested in if not Hagar's looks? So the Navi answers them, Zera Elokim. He was looking to bring a continuation of the seed that would serve Hashem. It's a different world. He wasn't running after her looks. So that's a medrash. And then there's a third interpretation. Okay, we'll leave it at that. V'nishmartem beruchachem uve'eshet ne'urecha al yivgod. So Hashem says, I want you, v'nishmartem beruchachem. Take control of your spirit. It's normal that a person has other desires. That's the way Hashem created us. But a person is responsible to take control. V'nishmartem beruchachem. Watch your spirit. Uve'eshet ne'urecha al yivgod. And focus your love to the woman of your youth and do not be a traitor to her. And here again, we see a very important concept that people err in this concept. And that is that a person has a choice whether to love or not. Focus on loving and you will love. Uve'eshet nurecha livgod. And don't be a traitor to the woman of your youth. Aye, she's not as beautiful as she used to be. Now she's driving me crazy. When we first got married, she didn't ask me every time I went to take out the garbage, where are you going? Right, things change. And even so, it's up to us. And if we choose to focus our love, then we will love. Kisane shalach. If you tell me I can't, I hate her. There's no way I can make it work. So then Hashem says, shalach, I gave you a concept of divorce in the Torah. Kisane, if you tell me I hate her, I can't. So then at least Hashem says, shalach, set her free. Don't continue with her with the pact that you owe her and then behind her back cheat on her. Amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael. So says Hashem, the God of Israel. Hashem says, I want you happily married. And I say, focus and make it a happy marriage. But if you can't, so then send her off and get remarried and live with a woman that you love. But the goal of Torah living, of the living of Israel, one of the basic concepts of how a Jew is supposed to live is in marriage. And so Hashem says, Kisane, if you tell me I hate her and I can't, shalach, okay. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, so then send her off and get remarried. V'chisa hachamas al levusho, amar Adonai Tzevaot. Hashem says, when a person is married and he really doesn't like the woman he's married to, and then he tries to cover it up. So then Hashem says, V'chisa chamas alevusho. Hashem says, you should know that it's better take out that those feelings, put them on top of your garments, don't keep them under your garments, make believe everything's okay and then be treacherous to your wife. No. Hashem says, take it out, deal with it, and either remove the hatred or remove the marriage. But don't remain in the marriage and then run around with other women and make believe that everything's okay. V'chisa chamas alevusho, amar Hashem Tzvakot. Hashem says, don't leave that hatred under your clothing. Take it out over your clothing. Deal with it. Ideally by obliterating it, and if not, then by realizing you have to move on in life. V'nishmartem beruchachem v'lo tivgodu. But what I do hold you to task, says Hashem, is that a person has to watch his spirit, a person has to watch himself, and not be treacherous towards his wife. And that's where Hashem says, I want v'nishmartem beruchachem, I want you to take control of your spirit and choose to love your wife. That's what I want. But what I demand is v'lo tivgodu. Don't be treacherous to them. Isn't it amazing that this is the focus of the Navi? Be fair to your wives. So, we'll pick up here with Zachim next week.